Expressions from St. Paul is made possible by your faithful prayers and contributions.
Some conflicts haven't killed us. We are killing relationships, killing fellowships, and killing our marriage. We are putting to death our careers, our testimonies, our witness. Proverbs 19:11 says, sensible people control their temper.
Are you a peacemaker, or do you cause havoc in every relationship that you're a part of? In today's lesson, Dr. Williams revisits, Blessed are the peacemakers. He expounds on how we have to be at peace with one another, at peace with ourselves, and at peace with God.
God will give you peace, and He can make you, my friend, peaceful, peacemaking individual.
Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully in his 46th year here at St. Paul, the Honorable Reverend Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Sunday morning. New membership orientation begins at 8:45 a.m. Sunday school classes for all ages are offered at 9 a.m. And our worshiping experience begins promptly at 10 a.m. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. If you have your Bible, let's open them together to the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 9. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are now going to transition into the sanctuary, and it's time to get our worship on. Let's join morning worship already in progress.
Some of you think that if you're cussing, fighting, and arguing, you think then that you are what we call just got upset and angry. You don't have to leave your home to be a peace breaker. You can be in your home by yourself and be a peace breaker. Because then you start feeding yourself with the garments that God doesn't want you to have. In the church, the local church, you have some people who comes to church intentionally to be deceitful. They'll look at you and they'll grin. And they'll go tell your neighbor, I sure did hate that I ran into him or her. You are peace inwardly breaker. There's a man, one of our men has gone on to glory, he died. I shall never forget. He was coming out of my office at the other church, and I was confronted by three people. And they said to me, if you don't get rid of him, you're going to have problems. And I heard this quiet voice say, tell him, bring it on. I said, I got problems now. I said, what is your problem? I said, you appear in front of my door, and you are a problem. I never heard nothing because I didn't do nothing. Jesus was the one died for your sin. I don't care how bad your sins were. Jesus died for them and nailed the evidence to the cross. And quit letting human beings condemn you and throw you out into your corner today, throw you under the bus or the bus. Why would you let that bother you when they can't forgive you? Jesus will forgive you, and He'll restore you, and He'll use you again. So you get all upset because somebody talked about you. Anytime you announce you're a Christian, somebody going to talk about you. Amen. I don't care who it is, they're going to talk about you. Amen. My brother said to me, one of my brothers, he's gone on to glory. Well, he died. And he said to me, I was talking about paying tithe. He said, you mean you give that preacher all of that money? I said, I'm not giving it to the preacher. I'm giving it to the work of the kingdom. And that was amazing to me. Had all of that education can mess, has and will continue, mess up good people. Well, academically trained. But Tommy, every at least three times a year, I was giving all my money to the preacher, he said, and he was trying to borrow money from me. So why did I have some left? And then when he had a heart attack in his 50s, he said to me, Sonny boy, you thought I wasn't listening to you. I've been listening to you, but I had a hard time listening to you, and you are 13 years younger than me. And I said to him, when I just said to you, I said, you're not the only crazy old man. We got a lot of them. Listen carefully what I'm telling you. I gave my tithes to that church because it's an order from me, from God. I have never been hungry. I have never missed wearing some clothes. I have never been threatened to be put out of my apartment. I have never had a car and couldn't buy gas. I have never, never wanted to go somewhere and couldn't go. You see that, let me talk to Pepper. Did you know that tithe, you invest money for your retirement, yeah? 401 and whatever number you other you got. But you have no guarantee you're going to use it. But when you give God what belongs to him, if you don't have a chance, every now and then, I don't have it up here, but every now and then he'll throw you something. And he works mysteriously. You don't even know how you got it. God works not only in a mysterious way, he is mysterious himself. Why are you trying to work it out? God has already worked it out. Church, be a peacemaker in church. Don't be a peace breaker. Paul warned those people. God will never answer your prayers like he would, and you are creating problems for his church. I repeat, his church is better than, you're talking about, well, I've been there 30 years and they nothing, you need to serve more. Because you know what it's all about. Amen. I've been in church all my life except being a member 15 months. And I would never get out of church. If I get in a wheelchair, they better bring me in church. If they don't, I'm going to get them when I get away. Take your seat. Church, blessed are the who? Peacemaker. Now, if he's not going to bless you, what he'll do for you? I didn't hear nothing. Friends, if the peacemakers are blessed, then what happens to the peace breakers? They are not blessed. And just because you drive whatever you drive and wherever you live, it's no sign nowhere that you are blessed. The devil has all of that. You've got two B's, you got two B-A's and one D-D. You can have anything you want to have. But God looks me. I know people who work on job now, they didn't hire those people if they didn't have a degree from college. But it wasn't their degree, it's God worked through them. See, God can pass what man has to say, and if you don't think I'm telling you the truth, Trump just lost his first defeat. Soon as I get in office, and to first Monday, I'm going to cancel Obama's care. Yes, you did. I'm not endorsing nobody's care. I'm just saying, don't predict against God's power. He's still in control. Still in control. I tell you, it has nothing to do with race. It has nothing to do with your achievements. Because how did you get there? Maybe it was God who blessed you to be blessed so you can be a blessing to somebody else. And I know this. I've been with people, and there was a bad situation. They were raising money, and they wouldn't even give a dime. I gave and didn't have nothing left. I've given my last dime in church and still went home and had fried chicken. I know I wake you up because I make you want to go when I talk about fried chicken. Amen. And so, friends, let's be friendly and open to Almighty God. When I look today at what God has done and is doing, it makes me say thank you. Because if it had not been for God, St. Paul wouldn't be in existence today. Amen. You can quit, cuss, fuss, you will never kill it. Because you didn't establish that. I hear people say, you know, so-and-so established this church. No, they didn't. They established the building. Jesus died on Calvary for the church. And nobody died that I know of for no church. Listen carefully, friends. Being a peacemaker is a serious issue. Of course, this does not mean that we can avoid taking responsibility. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you study. We are in the worst period that I remember in the United States of America. We are divided. Races are divided. People are divided. Church folks are divided. People get mad with you when you praise the Lord. We are in trouble in the United States of America. And since God is warning us, you better take the warning serious. He warned the saints before things happened to them. It's up to you to listen to it. A man's wife left him and took a child. They had a child and took the child with her. She went into Texas. When she got off the plane, they questioned her and arrested her. And what happened was they didn't know she was running with the child, was supposed to, and left her husband. She ran right into the police's arms. She was smart, but not wise. You married couples. You who got married to another person and didn't expect any problem, you were drunk when you got married. You are two different people. I don't care how much you love each other, you're still two different people. You were raised different. You look different. You act different. And I pray to God that you are different. And because of your differences, you're going to always have disagreement. And more so with women when they are raised by their mother. She's had a lot of challenges, and now she's telling her daughter, you don't have to take this, and you don't have to do this. You don't have to do this. Shut your mouth. You're done passed on. You're now 70, and you can't do nothing else but talk. Let your daughter love who she married. She know that Negro wasn't perfect when she married him. Love is not, quote, sex period. If Some of you talking about love, they think you're talking about, well, sex. If sex was what was really controlling in love, America would burn up. And the saint said, that's part of God's gift to us. You just learn how to use it right. You can mess it up. A good thing can be messed up. I still say, if God had made anything better than a woman, he'd have kept her for himself. Since he was so kind to share her, then we need to learn how to get along, not to live in the same body. Let's move on. I knew I won't finish today. Friends, listen careful. When we are in conflict, our blood pressure, I told you last summer, raises. And our heart arteries, friends, sometimes contrast. And our food is not digested properly. And we are prone to stress for hours, days, or even years. After we think like conflict is over and done with, I don't need to tell you of the many folks who died apart or departed or given up the ghost during angry, irritating outbursts. It's bad for your health. Listen, beloved, remaining peaceful is good for your body. And if I could say it like, my friend, like the milk commercial, peace does the body good. Have you ever tried to love somebody and they're mad and frowning and reminding you what you did 10 years ago and you're trying to love them? Have you ever tried to love somebody and they're talking about, yeah, you spent all the money and you don't want to do what I want you to do? Have you ever tried to love somebody like that? You're wasting your time. They are troublemakers for themselves, not you, for them. Amen. I told you often, I love everybody, good, bad, troublemakers, everybody. But I don't run with everybody. Some folks, I don't even ride with them. Let's move on. Friends, listen carefully. Listen, beloved. Remaining peaceful is good to your body and friends. And please, we cannot forget that this body is the temple of Almighty God. God lives in you. So you want to know how God knows what's going on? He made you. Listen, people need God's peace more than gold, silver, in order to be healthy and happy. There's nothing better than being happy. Amen. I love to be happy. I love to be peaceful. The gentleman came to do some work for me in my home, and he said, it's awful quiet here. I said, I live here. And he said, yeah, I live at home too, and my home is not this quiet. I said, maybe because you live there. He lied. Friends, being a peacemaker is a serious issue. Of course, this doesn't mean that we can avoid taking responsibility. There are times when conflicts cannot be avoided, and we have to step up with the courage and take a stand for the Lord. Amen. Some stress is necessary and can be good for you. But you got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. Amen. 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 When the last time somebody made you stressful? How did you handle it? What did you do about it? Let me give you one issue. Police stopped me on Freeport when I was driving. And he jumps out of his car and had his stuff in his hand. And he said, "What's wrong?" I said, "You stopped me. I don't know." He said, "You were speeding." I said, "I was speeding?" "Yes." I said, "Well, how fast was I driving?" He couldn't come up with it. "But I was speeding." I said to him, "Sir, I go down this road every day, 2 and 3 times a day, and nobody has ever told me I was speeding." He says, "Well, what do you do for a living?" I said, "I pastor a church." He said, "Oh, you pastor a church and you're speeding?" I said, "Yes. If you say I'm speeding, I'm speeding. But I can tell you I was not speeding. When I cut my car, if you have it tested, it'll show you how fast I was driving when I cut it off. I wasn't speeding." So he said, "You don't agree with me." I said, I didn't say that. I just told you I wasn't speeding." I said, "Sir, how long you been on this street?" He said, "Well, I just been assigned here, then I got in." I said, "Anytime we are new at anything, we're trying to learn what's going on. I'm not telling you to do that." And he said like this, "Put that thing back in that, whatever you call that thing with the gun in." He said, "You go on and be careful." I drove on, and I was careful. And now I'm not driving, I'm more careful. I did not argue with him. I didn't get loud with him. And I was stressful because he was not telling the truth. But I controlled my stress and was kind to him. Quit telling people they upset you so bad until you couldn't think. You think when the policeman's behind you and you're speeding, you slow down. Oh, my. Look through that mirror. You slow down so fast, you think the brakes was in front of you. We have to learn. We are only in control of us. Every individual is in control of themselves. You say, but you don't know, Pastor. You don't live with me. You don't understand me. I don't understand you. And if you're doing what I think you're doing, I don't want to understand you. We have to maintain the Holy Ghost power that works in us. Maybe you all don't know you got the Holy Ghost in you. And he will control you if you let him. Peacemaker. Peacemaker. Listen. Listen. Although some conflicts haven't killed us, we are killing, listen carefully, we are killing relationships, killing fellowships, and killing our marriage. Amen. If you want to kiss your wife, she said, "Not today, leave her alone." She'll kiss you twice tonight. And A.V. said, we are putting to death our careers, our testimonies, our witness to the Lord as a matter of fact. The Bible says you got to overlook minor offenses. Listen, Proverbs 19:11 says, sensible people control their temper. They earn respect by overlooking wrong. Amen. Amen. And as a general rule, an offense should be overlooked. If you can answer, all of you, you can answer, if you can answer no to all of the following questions. Listen, is the offense serious, disturbing to God? Has it permanently damaged a relationship? The offense. Is it serious, hurting other people? And is it seriously hurting the offender himself? If the answer is no to all of the questions, then, my friend, learn to overlook it. Amen. Yeah, I said it and I said it again. Overlook it. I was coming from someplace recently and somebody said, I got something to tell you. It's hot. I said, would it help me? They said, I don't know about that. I said, well, then I don't need anything that won't help me. You said, but you don't know what they're going to tell you. And if it was that hot, they'd have called me. Everything hot, you don't want it. Are you listening? Church, listen very carefully here today. We are some blessed to have God as our Savior. Listen carefully. Well, he looked at me wrong. Well, he probably has something in his eyes, overlooked it. Well, I didn't like the color of their clothes, overlooked it. Next time, they might choose your color. She didn't smile or speak when I said good morning, overlooked it. Listen, church. She may not have anything to smile about. Yes, sir. Or perhaps just making, my friends, just maybe she didn't hear you. Well, of course, some stuff ain't worth dying for. Ain't worth falling out for. Yes, some stuff are not worth losing sleep over and losing friendship and relationships. It's not worth it. The sin, first outline, the sin related to the Beatitude. James 4 and 1 said, he asked, where do wars and fights comes from among you? He goes on to answer the question, friend. Listen carefully and read it when you go home. Brother James said in his answer, he says, where it come from? Well, James goes on to say that this attitude leads us to quarreling, fighting, covering, and finally killing. Amen. We do all of that because we will not turn to the Lord for advice. Three wars James mentioned, three of them. A war with one's another. These conflicts erupt because we do not act in a Christian manner towards others. Yes, number two, it's a war with ourselves. This conflict arises because we do not consistently follow the rules of Scripture. If you are in doubt, ask for some guidance. Ask for some help. Amen. My son was playing baseball and the coach pushed him down. Hurt him. So he ran off of the team and not far from here and ran home. When he got home, he was crying. And His nose was bleeding. And I said, "Bitch, what's the problem?" He said, "The cords pushed me down." I said, "What were you doing?" He said, "I wasn't doing anything. He thought I was somebody else." I said, "What did he say when he pushed you down?" "I don't know, because I ran and left." So I said, "Okay, get in the car with me, and we'll go back." But before I got in my car, I went in my house. And the thing said, "I'm honest and open." I went back and I said, "Coach, what happened? You see my son is bleeding? And you say you pushed him down?" He said that his right side is hurting. He said, "I made a mistake. I was going to apologize. But he ran." I said, "Well, then tell him now." He put his hand, which wouldn't allow that, and he apologized. He said, "If there's a doctor bill, I'd pay it." He worked for that school. He could have lost his job. Now he said, "I'm sorry. If there's a doctor bill, I'll pay it." I said, "But let's go." We went on to the doctor. They didn't find anything damaged. He just hurt. And Butch said, "Daddy, I'm not going back to play ball, so you got to go back. You got to be bigger than that. And if he pushes you down again, you be prepared." He was 14 years old. I had taught him how to take care of himself. I said, "Use what I taught you if it happens again. But make sure you're not at fault. If you're going to fight for yourself, then you can't use my advice. I'm trying to help you." He hugged me and said, "Daddy, thank you, because I wasn't thinking like that." That's what dad is for. Help him to think the way he's supposed to. That's what the Holy Ghost is for with you. When you're acting up, he is the one to teach you how to act and react just like a father. Amen. One other illustration, because it's going to happen. We need your prayers. We're going to have to change this carpet on this floor down here. $100,000+. And God's not going to drop it out of the sky. God don't drop money out of the sky. They got to take these pews out, pick up this carpet, put it down, and then 2 Sundays a month, we have to rehearse and we have to preach in the Family Life Center. Don't complain. I didn't tear this carpet up. You tore it up. Now you're going to help replace. And the saint said, "Amen." We want to keep it nice. And if we can't change it, we can't prepare. Amen. I don't want to worship in the Family Life Center. That's why we have it. God gave us an opportunity so we don't have to rent nothing. All right. All right. Friends, listen carefully. Those kids this morning sung. The brother and the sister made me feel good. Not only are they brothers and sisters, but they can sing together. Amen. That's what love is all about. Second outline is a war with God. This conflict exists because we try to take control of situations without going to God for the correct answer. Amen. Adrian Rogers once said that most people are, my friend, are a fight looker for a place to fight. A whole lot of folks just want to start something. It has to be started wherever they want it started. Fighting is not worth fighting if you don't have anything to fight for. Amen. Why can't you listen through the Spirit of the living God. Friends, he speaks. Amen. Listen, beloved. If we are right with God, we will, my friend, we will be trouble-free. Listen careful. Are you listening? Are you listening? If we are right with God, we will be trouble-free. Troublemakers instead of peacemakers is a battle within. You battle within yourself when you're a troublemaker, because you got to take yourself and what you did home with you. It's not going nowhere. Amen. Well, I'm going to go home and get me a drink. When you get sober, you're going to still have it. Drinking won't kill inward battle. It will just delay them. Amen. Marijuana only going to last for a short while. And you're going to have to get another one. In order to get rid of battles, they got to be submitted to God. And God will give you peace of mind. Amen. Church, listen. We do need to understand that the peace of God starts with the righteousness of God. All right? Romans 5:1. We have peace with God only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to the King. When I think about peace, the truth is, no one listens to the message today should leave without making sure you have made peace with God. And that is by accepting Christ as your Savior and Lord. This is what we know and heard. God will give you peace, and he can make you, my friend, peaceful, peacemaking individual. Nobody can claim that but the one who is saved. God can do for you what nobody else can do for you. And here is what we know, not what we heard. God would give you peace, and he can make you a peaceful making person. How many years, weeks, and months have it been since you've been a peacebreaker? You can get rid of it now if you believe in Almighty God. I won't finish this today. I'll finish it later. But let me close, friends. Let me close with this for you. The reason I know about peace, I was raised in a peaceful home. I had a peaceful marriage. And I've been in peaceful churches watching peacebreakers. Listen carefully. How you handle it. You can handle anything that is brought to you if you know Jesus. Listen carefully. The Bible, this is why I beg you, I plead with you, St. Paul, read this Bible. Oprah can't help you. Governor Brown means well, but his term will soon be up. What you going to do then? You married, you got a good income, wonderful. But what's going to happen when you pass whatever number it takes? You need somebody on the other side that's looking out for you when you can't look out for yourself. Amen. You need somebody to come by and cook a meal for you when you can't cook for yourself. You need somewhere to stay where there's peace and happiness when you don't have nowhere to live. If you want to find the answer to all of these questions, read the Bible. The Word of God, the Bible is true. It's our greatest asset, the Bible. It is a far greater value than houses or land. Yes, It is greater than stocks, bonds, diamonds, my friends, and pearls. Yes. Nobody can deny that it is in a category all by itself, the Bible. Amen. You might not like it, but it's still not going to change. Amen. The Bible is the word of God. Amen. And if God said it and you are right with him, he'll bring it to pass. Listen, church, the Bible, it is the only book that reveals to us the reality of God. The only plan you're going to learn about salvation is in the Bible. The consequences of sin is in the Bible. And the hope of heaven is in the Bible. Read it for yourself. Friend, it teaches, his teachings are true. Its history are correct. Its wisdom is pure. Its message is clear. Its commands are just. Its laws are at present. And it is important, and you can't deny that. Amen. It's the only book you have when you are troubled. If you read it, it'll ease your trouble. It's the only book that you have that when people are messing with you in your business, only book you have will give you hope for tomorrow. Read this Bible. This Bible is a road map to heaven, and nobody would be able to detour. The reason I read the Bible, because I don't just want to die and go to heaven. I want to get some heaven while I'm on earth. Every now and then, I like to go somewhere and sit down and do nothing and have somebody to wait on me. That's like heaven. When I go to heaven, I don't have nothing to do. I don't have to do all that stuff you sing about. When I go to heaven, what I have to do is just sit and enjoy God. When I read the Bible, I don't have this hate in my heart. It gives me peace of mind, joy that I couldn't find when I read the Bible. When I read the Bible, I get hope for tomorrow, not waiting when it's going to happen, but I know there's hope in God himself. When I read the Bible, it gives me a confidence to be nice to mean and evil people. When I read the Bible, I have another bright day on the other side. When I read the Bible, I can sing peace like a river flows in my soul. When I read the Bible, I know how to love people when they don't love me. When I read the Bible, I know how to pray and what to pray for. When I read the Bible, I know that Jesus got up and he lives in me. When I read the Bible, I hear him say, I'll never leave you. Now would I forsake you. When I read the Bible, I hear him say, lo, I'm with you, even to the end of the world. When I read the Bible, I heard him say, one day I will be back, and I'm going to take you with me. There is glory, there is hope, there is peace, there's joy in the Bible. Sir, read it for yourself. Read it for yourself. You're missing everything when you don't read the Bible. Read it. Read it. Read it. But Brother Pastor, you always talking about reading the Bible. I've read the Bible. Yes, like you read a newspaper. When you get through reading to be an observer, you throw it aside. But when you read the Bible, you can't throw it aside. The part of it is left in you. It'll pull you this way, and it'll push you that way. Read it for yourself. The Bible is like, my friends, icing on a cake. You put that icing on the cake, it makes you want a slice. When you read that Bible, and you see it says, let not your heart be troubled. He that believes in me, believe also in him. When you read that Bible, you read words. Yes, I was bad. Yes, I was lost. Yes, I had no hope, but he died for me. And since he died for me, I'm going to trust him every day of my life. Read the Bible. Read it. Well, you know, Pastor, I can't see well. God has fixed it for you. You can't see well? He have it on tape. Play a tape. I can't read, but put your tape on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You don't have no tape? You can put your television and radio on. And anybody who is born again, living for Jesus, know if you're reading the Bible. Because you're going to act like it. You're throwing yourself around. You're not reading no Bible. You're reading other people. Read the Bible. And you would be blessed. Blessed. When I left home, Mama said, don't forget to go to church. Amen. Friends, that sermon I preached some time ago, I can't shake it. And it says, don't forget God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Don't forget him. He won't forget you.
Amen.
Amen. You said, but Brother Pastor, when I die, I won't know anything about it. That's what you think. When you die and you sit down or they lay you down, when they lay you down in the grave and you sit down, that's temporarily. Soon and very soon, he's going to come back and call the dead in Christ to get up and follow him. It's in your Bible. Read it.